Me, Nkechi Taifa, Wednesdays, 5 p.m. for human rights and justice.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash, Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
DC. This is Joni. It is Monday, September 23rd, 2024. We have a special hour in store for you today. In recognition of National Substance Recovery Month, we will be celebrating the work done by our beloved ancestor, Ron Clark, and RAP Incorporated. Those listeners who don't know about Ron and RAP, get a little closer to your radio. This is a very important history of WPFW in our community. We'll be hearing some of the countless stories and contributions of Ron Clark and RAP as we spotlight these contributions during the hour with a team of outstanding guests. And I would like to introduce my special co-host for the hour, Charles Stevenson. Charles, welcome, and take it away.
Well, thank you, Joni. Thank you so much. And I tell you, it's an honor for me to be on this program to represent, to talk about the contributions of Ron Clark and RAP Incorporated to Washington, D.C. And it's always an honor to be on WPFW, because over the years, they carried the truth, they carried the messages to our people. A little bit about myself. As you probably know, I have been an activist, very active in Washington, D.C. for many, many years. I served on the board of WPFW. I've known Ron, knew Ron, God, for over 40 years, working with Malika Edwards at the Black Panther Party and Sherry Brown and Jim Williams and going way back to Maurice Lawrence, also with the Black Panther Party. And so when Ron opened the doors to RAP, he had the assistance of the Black Panther Party. And I think he took some of the lessons from the Black Panther Party in terms of how he built RAP Incorporated to serve the people. And that's what they did. I mean, RAP, let me go back. In the early 1970s, just gonna paint a picture. I think there are people on this call that can help me out with this. But Washington, D.C. was going through war. Washington, D.C. was going through war with Heron. We were going through war with brothers and sisters coming back from Vietnam, who had lived through atrocities that they didn't even want to talk about. And then we had the war, the Civil Rights Movement. That was another war. And a lot of brothers and sisters were befelled by what they went up against during the Civil Rights Movement. So Heron really overtook and was very, very, devastating to the citizens and to Washington, D.C. And so rap coming along during that period actually saved a lot of people. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about why rap came at that point in time, why Ron came to D.C., how he got to D.C. And of course, we're going to talk to my good friend, Kakai Patterson. We're going to sit around the coffee table this morning, Kakai, and we're going to talk about some of the history and some of the things that you did along with Jerome and Daryl Sabs, you know, to make this program what it is today.
And Charles, let's introduce just briefly all the fabulous guests we have. As, of course, we have you. As you said, you've been on the board of RAP for many, many years. We're also very honored to have with us Ron Clark's wife and a strong WPFW family member, Angela Owens Clark. She's going to be joining us at the end of the hour. And I'm also extremely excited and thankful to have WPFW's own Von Martin. Stay tuned for later in the show. And of course, mostly all listeners should know that it was Von Martin who first put the station onto our airwaves in 1977 with Take the A-Train. And of course, he can be heard every Saturday with Brian Caribbeana from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Saturday. He's been with us for decades. You'll hear from him a little later, but he has some very exciting stories to share about Ron Clark. And in addition, I'm very excited as well to have Dr. Edwin Chapman, who's actually calling us from across the waters. And Edwin Chapman is a hero to many of us, a community hero in the world of substance abuse treatment, leading the way with a commitment to end the opioid epidemic. And we'll talk about the importance of RAP's work from the perspective, from his perspective as a physician. So let's jump in now briefly. Everything's gonna be brief with our time, but we're gonna start with talking about RAP's, the work of RAP in the terms of substance abuse treatment, a few more minutes from Charles, and then Kokai is going to share the RAP philosophy. Maybe we should start with that now. Let's start with welcoming Kokai in, and Kokai, please read and share RAP's philosophy statement.
You're on mute. All right.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. How are we there? We good?
That's great. Good.
Okay, good morning, everyone. And thank you, Joni, and the WPFW family for always supporting progressive movements in the community. The RAP philosophy was written in 1970, and it was put together by about five or six what we call back in the day, ex-addicts. Mr. Clark, Adisa Ajimu, took myself and about four or five other folk and put us in a room and said, come up with your philosophy. What is going to lead and guide you all? And here it goes. As a community, we are united in our struggle. We say yes to life and no to those things that threaten to destroy us. Today, we move towards a lifestyle of human values based on love, governed by honesty and secured by trust. No longer do we stand alone. We must be as open as the air, with the will to survive, the will to learn, and the will to create. For we are a creative force motivated by each other. For the will of the people is the greatest force conceivable. Ashe.
Ashe. And with that said, Charles, just briefly, and I hate to say briefly, but share a couple of the things that Ron did to create rap for the he was with it for many decades.
Okay, and I'll be as brief as I can. As you know, Ron was born in L.A., Los Angeles, California, in 1935. Both his parents were artists. His mother was she was an artist. His father was a musician. So he took up playing instruments a long time ago. He was infatuated with jazz. Unfortunately, at an early age, he started experimenting with drugs. And fast forward, he ended up going to Synanon, which was back then a program where a lot of so-called celebrities went to kick their heroin abuse, their addiction. Eventually, he ended up going to Harlem, where he worked in Phoenix House. And he said he saw more Black people in Harlem, Kakai, than he ever seen in his whole life.
What
he
That's got right. there.
But, but again, now, again, this is the, you know, probably the early, late 60s, early 70s. And again, the backdrop is what was happening in our community.
Yeah.
And why a lot of brothers and sisters were fledging with, you know, to heroin and alcohol and other forms of addiction.
Yeah.
Ron was summoned to come to a meeting to Washington, D.C. A couple of priests in Washington, D.C. wanted to start a drug treatment program. And Ron met with them, and Kakai never left.
You That's know, right.
D.C. D.C. gets you, you know, you come to D.C., just never leave.
That's right.
And he, that, it was then that he got the whole idea, the whole concept to move forward with Rap Incorporated. And I think Kakai, he was there. You can go on from there, my
Absolutely.
Brother. Yeah, you can
Absolutely.
Take us on a ride, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how the story went. Ron Grenier, one of the priests, and George Malzone were two ex-Catholic priests who wanted to do and put together a program. And the key thing that my brother Charles talked about is Ron's orientation from Synanon, which was the number one residential, not long-term treatment program, but when you signed into that program, you signed in for life. So Mr. Clark was very, very much orientated to what we call the correct way to deal with treatment, a re-educational process. And then, like you said, going to Phoenix House and having over 10 or to 15 years of experience in long-term therapeutic residential programs, he then orientated himself politically and put, of course, what we know as the Afrocentric flavor and the political flavor into that program. One of the things that every addict had to do when they came in was commit to going back into the community after they got their lives together. This was point one when you came in, and that, of course, was part of your exit plan. What were you going to do to give back to the community? So again, this is an African concept of taking care of ourselves, our families, and our communities. And Ron was able to galvanize support from every level of the communities to be able to get this program off the ground. We started in a building and were washing the dishes in the shower. We were cooking on a hot plate, you know, but we were enjoying ourselves because we as young people at 17, I was about 17 and a half years old. I had to sneak in there. And we were in there just taking care of ourselves and just loving one another, just basking in this environment that Ron Clark had put up for us.
So Kakai, at that point, the therapeutic community
You're muted.
Process. Oh.
No, we can hear him.
Yeah. At that point, Kakai, the therapeutic treatment philosophy was just emerging. Okay. So you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I know that there were other drug treatment programs in Washington, D.C., you know, DuPont and others, you know.
Absolutely. One of the major positions that Ron took was a drug-free position. And of course, Robert DuPont was the top dog at that point, pushing and promoting methadone. Mm-hmm. I was on methadone before I went into rap and got addicted to the methadone at age 16, 17. Again, lying about my age to sign up to get into these methadone programs. And in order to get off methadone, I actually went back to using dope again. And I did that twice, you know, to get off methadone. I went back to shooting dope to get off the methadone. So Mr. Clark really had a very strong, unbending position against the use of any drugs to help an individual get off. So much so, we had a non-smoking policy at RAP Incorporated. So much so, we got rid of the sugar at RAP Incorporated. No coffee at RAP Incorporated. We were drinking herbal teas and using honey and brown sugar and things of that nature. So he, again, developed a holistic concept, a concept that dealt with, number one, developing the individual spirit. He allowed people, the Muslims, to have services on Friday, the Christians to have services on Sunday, and anybody else who wanted to do Nam-myoho Renge Kyo or whatever, that he, of course, employed that. He allowed us to broaden our minds. So he understood the importance of not just dealing with a person's spiritual development and dealing with the trauma and stuff that broke their spirits down. He wanted to make sure that they were informed and educated about these things. So the educational process was incredible. We had our own library in there, and everybody had to do book reports. Can you imagine these guys, Pookie and them, coming into a book report? I didn't know no book. And the book report might have four sentences in it, but Mr. Clark would give them a round of applause for those four sentences that Pookie might have wrote about that particular book, To Die for the People by Huey P. Newton, or the autobiography of Malcolm X, or, you know, some things of that nature that he would politicize us with to broaden our minds. And then on the other side, like I said, the holistic process, spirit, mind, and the body, we exercised. We had martial arts classes. That's why I started martial arts at RAP Incorporated. You know, I remember a brother named Sifu Purdy would come down to RAP, and I remember him kicking me in my head because I didn't block the punch. Okay. I said, man, he said, that's how it goes, Kakai. But yeah, Ron was able to induce a complete process. And then last was the community part. That part of our daily regimen was to go out into the community and solicit community people to support us, as well as go into every school in Washington, D.C., every college, every campus. Mr. Clark had us everywhere doing free food programs that, of course, we learned from the Black Panther Party. You know,
let me jump real quick, because I think this is important for our audience to understand this, too. Initially, Ron didn't want federal funding.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I think that that's a key piece that people need to understand why he did not want federal funding when he first set up RAP Incorporated.
Absolutely.
So how did you get the resources that you needed to carry on the programming? Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely, yes. He refused that because creative Afrocentric concepts freely, that he would have to, you know, alter those things. So what he did was put together what we call an acquisition team. This acquisition team, Jerome Jones was the top dog, him and Daryl Sabs, would get in a van, two vans that were donated. They went out and went to car dealerships and got vans and cars donated. And they would go to the Fifth Street Market. They would go to the open markets. They would go to all the major outlets and come back with truckloads and van loads full of food every day. They had to do this, and they would go over to the market and they'd come back with fresh veggies and chicken and, you know, all the kinds of things that we needed. But that was the major support factor for RAP. If they didn't have that acquisition team that went out every day, businessmen, and acquired everything we need, from toilet paper to toothpaste to shoes to socks to bread to milk, you know, whatever, mops, buckets, brooms, pencils, paper, books, you know, whatever. He made sure that this team supplied us with what we need on a daily basis. Therefore, the monies that we did receive from progressive funders, you know, progressive funders, we were able to use that to keep the rent paid. And then, of course, we had great people like Marion Barry.
Talk about it.
Yeah, and Calvin.
So you left 19th Street, right? Then went to Willard Place, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Talk about that, because that was a big, when you went to, you know, that was a job that you guys had to do.
Yeah, in about a minute, Kokai.
Okay, get that facility ready. Got a minute, Kokai.
That move from 19th and T to Willard Street, I'm trying to remember the guy who owned the building, gave us that building for $1 a year for at least for 15 years.
Wow.
And he signed that off in the taxes. And this was a 5-story apartment building, as Charles stated. And we went in like beavers and we rebuilt that entire building. And we had a lobby that was donated to us by a granite and marble company. It was just a beautiful, beautiful lobby. But yes, Mr. Clark had us working in there 24 hours a day, and we renovated that entire 5-story apartment building right there on 1731.
Okay, folks, you're listening to...
It was right around the corner from the Black Panther Party office.
That's right.
Okay, you're listening to WPFW to Heal DC. This is me, Joni. We are celebrating Ron Clark and Rap Incorporated. We're going to hear soon about the role that Ron has played and still plays with WPFW. But let me share also, we are doing this in recognition of National Recovery Month. Yeah. National Recovery Month started in 1989. It is a national observance held every year to promote and support, 1, new evidence-based treatment and practices, 2, the nation's strong recovery community, 3, the dedication of service providers and communities, and of course, celebrates the gains made by those in recovery. I want to share that on WPFW, we celebrated National Recovery Month through much of the 90s with Rap Incorporated, with Ron Clark, thanks to people like Tom Porter. Yeah. Nap, Don't Forget the Blues, was very involved working with Chuck Brown and Gaston Neal, making up songs to promote recovery, working with Calvin Rolark and many others. So again, this hour is in recognition of National Recovery Month, which we celebrated for many, many years, thanks to Ron Clark, Tom Porter, Nap Turner, and Gaston Neal. And now we're going to take a moment to talk with Dr. Edwin Chapman, who's been a guest on my show and other people's, Roach Brown, Ambrose. He is a hero to many of us in the community. He's been a physician for many decades, graduate from Howard University. And in the past 10 years or more, his focus has been on opioid treatment and policies to reverse the tragic spread of deaths from opioid use. And I know that Dr. Chapman is across the ocean, but he has always spoken highly about RAP. So good morning, Dr. Chapman. Perhaps you could share some of the things that you think are important for listeners to know about the work that RAP did and continues to do, and Ron Clark as well. So welcome, and thank you for the work you do.
Hi, Joni. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Well.
So I'm actually in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai. And ironically, listening to Kakaya talk, we took a tour of the Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi yesterday. And when we took that tour, it was just inspirational because of the same values that Kakaya talked about. Humanity, peace, and social service. So that's the theme that we want to bring. And unfortunately, our healthcare system has strayed away from those values. The United States now ranks near the bottom, if not at the bottom, in terms of healthcare, because we've morphed into a for-profit healthcare system. So this whole concept of community-centric care that Ron Clark brought to the table is a process that we have to reinvigorate. So we've worked over the past actually 15 to 20 years to bring the faith community back into the center of our healthcare. We talk about the spiritual component. And we have to realize that the reason why Ron built this Afrocentric approach is because we've been traumatized as a community for over 400 years. And I think that's what many of us in the typical or mainstream health community have lost. The fact that there is first a spiritual component to healthcare, and a mental component, and then the physical. So we've cut the head, we've removed the head from the body. And when you do that, obviously things are physically going to go wrong. So this whole concept of community-centric, Afrocentric, or it takes a village, is the approach that we have to re-educate our community. And that's what this process is all about. Being what they call an allopathic physician using medications, we have to also understand the spiritual component and the holistic component of healthcare so that we would be allowed to not use as many drugs or in the dosages that we currently use, even for high blood pressure or diabetes, because we've lost that spiritual component. And as we talked about the drugs during the 60s and the 70s, all of that came about through the additional trauma of the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement, et cetera. So we're really recycling the same process again with this fentanyl and these synthetic drugs that are now inundating our community.
And Dr. Chapman, we thank you for the pioneering work and committed work you're doing around that opioid crisis. And again, you can hear Dr. Chapman, he's very much a part of our family, again, on with me often, with Ambrose, with Roach Brown, and we thank you for the work. In a moment, we're going to move into the segment with Von Martin, as well as with Angela Owens, about Rapp's contribution and Ron's contribution to WPFW. But I'm going to take 1 minute. I'm going to ask Kokai to only help me with with 1 minute, because we could spend a whole hour on this. But one of the many things that Ron did as a Rapp was and is a residential treatment program, but he brought in amazing people, guests to speak and to be with us. He brought in Angela Davis. And I'm just going to mention UMass Aquila was in the studio with me and with Ron. We went right from the studio of PFW with UMass Aquila and Ron to Rapp Incorporated, where UMass Aquila spent the rest of the day with residents, where UMass Aquila shared his struggles with substance abuse, and of course played his music. And Kokai, just in 1 minute, tell us some of the other people that Ron brought into the Rapp.
Yeah, we had, of course, DC's own Chuck Brown. We had, of course, Mayor Marion Barry. We had Congressman Ronald Dellums and his wife come through, along with other congressmen, Charles Rangel. We had Nancy Wilson come through, Gil Scott Heron, Bilal Suni Ali, Mutulu Shakur. We had Betty Carter come through. I mentioned Nancy. Oh, and Winnie Mandela of course came through. And I had a real very, very powerful private moment with her. And I whispered a couple of things in her ear and told her we got it going on over here. And I mentioned some of my affiliations, and her squeeze became even tighter. To know still struggling over here. You all can imagine some of the stuff that I said to her. But that was wonderful. I mentioned Nancy Wilson.
I'm gonna mention real quick Wilma Rudolph, who I'll never forget when you and Ron called me, and I wasn't totally aware of her, but she was Olympic, I believe, track star, and she also had recovered from polio. So she had a very deep understanding of healing. And I know that at least one time a wrap, and Ron brought her in, and I think she did a walk with the residents. So
yes, she did. Yes, she did. We had Gladys Knight and the Pips come through. absolutely fantabulous that they came through. But yeah, Wilma Rudolph was very much an inspiration, especially to the Black women and girls that were at RAP Incorporated. And like I said, what part of our Ron's program was exercise. So we did exercise on a daily basis. But yeah, that's just a small list of those people. I just can't remember all of the great stars. And, you know, I think Eddie Kendricks came through, formerly with the Temptations, you know. Yeah, just wonderful, wonderful.
And of course, we only have a few seconds for this, but as you kind of mentioned, Ron Clark was committed to holistic healing. And you as an acupuncturist were there from day one, as well as some other healers, and I'm not going to start naming them, but
Dr. DeBin,
Dr. DeBin, who was also a frequent guest in the 90s on this show, together with Kokai, and many others. So we're going to now, in a moment, hear a little bit of Coltrane, but we are excited for our second segment. We're going to be spotlighting our own Von Martin, and he's going to be sharing some stories about Ron, as well as Angela Owens Clark is going to wrap it up. So let's hear a little. Again, this program is not only in honor of Ron Clark and National Recovery Month and RAP, but it's also in honor of John Coltrane, whose birthday is today. And I'm telling you that Ron Clark requested that we play this tune. Of course, and that is A Love Supreme. And I'm going to just mention real quick that Ron was very involved with an important group that some of you may know about called the Listening Group, started by Gaston Neal. Reed Tuckson helped kick it off, as did Ron. And it still meets, a group of Black men that gathered together every month and to talk about music, but it was really a healing group. And that's another one of the things that Ron Clark was very involved with. And with that said, we're going to give our imaginary round of applause to Von Martin. You can hear him again every Saturday on Caribbeana from 6 to 9. And it was Von who started our airwaves in 1977. Welcome, Von. Hopefully you can unmute yourself. Von, can you hear us? Okay, Von has some important stories to share. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Joni. I feel very privileged to be amongst all these distinguished people, you know. Ron and I go back a long way, and I tell you, I miss him. Ron is such a nice man. When I tell you, a nice man, simple and very calm and collective and knowledgeable. He was one of the founding programmers of WPFW. He knew Denise Oliver, Greg Millard, and Sigidi Browdy, and as a result of that, embraced the activities of WPFW. But Ron and I bonded with each other, as you know, we were invited by Don Foster to go to Cuba as a part of a group of third world journalists. And this trip was an exciting one, because I didn't realize the extent of jazz music Ron had appreciated. And in Cuba, this manifested itself because, oh gosh, the trip was just great. One of the fun things that I remember, we visited the House of the Americas, and in the yard was a statue of Maurice Bishop. And if you know Maurice Bishop, the story of Maurice Bishop, a revolutionist from Grenada, and got killed. And Ron was very affiliated with his story. And we used to talk a lot about Maurice. But we took a picture out in the yard in front of the statue of Maurice Bishop. And I tell you, it's one of the beautiful memories when we both looked back at it and we'll talk again about these activities of this man. I can't find the picture now. And I'm looking, I have to look all over the house to find this picture because I must do it. And we continue to do the work of WPFW. We received awards from WPFW. There were photographs, people like Joni, Larry Applebaum, myself, and others received awards from WPFW for the work that we have done. But it's not just about the work we have done for ourselves, but it's work for the community, mm-hmm. as WPFW was created for DC and for the community. So I, and then, you know, in comes Angela, and I said, I said, how does man get this nice woman so, you know? I didn't laugh, man. He said, because I'm a nice man. Yeah.
And Angela might tell that story.
but you know, the guy was just a fantastic guy. I tried to hook him up with a friend of mine in Trinidad who was doing a similar program called Eye on Dependency, Garth Sinclair. But unfortunately, the distance and the method of communicating was unable to hook them up really to continue this work, you know. But I want to thank all of you for all that you have been doing, you know, and trying to keep the legacy of Ron Clark alive. You know, I'm just tired of going to all of these ancestors' celebrations, you know, but we need to do them when they're alive more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but Vaughn, share with the listeners, because many people do not know the strong role that Ron played to keep WPFW alive. So tell the story of how he gave WPFW a home when we were homeless.
Well, we were located at 1030 15th Street Northwest, and the lease had expired, so we had to get out of there. And we were in a quandary. Denise and Sigidi and Greg, they were in a quandary of where to go, you know. And in comes Ron and say, look, we all could use my place on 18th Street. And the station moved from 1030 15th Street to 1878 18th Street, Northwest Washington. And there we were housed for several years until we moved to Champlain Street. But that was what Ron did. And he said, use it, you know. And that was a gift, you know.
Absolutely. And of course, I don't have time to share, but I did many, many special projects with Ron in collaboration with people like Calvin Rolock, for example, yes. During the AIDS epidemic. And also Ron was always there when we had some of our upheavals at WPFW. One time in the 90s, we were having some challenges, and Ron helped to pull together a committee of community folks who were concerned and helped us meet for 1 or 2 years to talk about how to continue to support WPFW. So Ron was definitely part of the WPFW family and still is.
Yes. Let me jump in real quick, because WPFW was the major sponsor of a celebration called Sankofa, a celebration for rap.
Yes.
Remember that, Kakai?
Yeah.
And
we did this, it was 43 years that we celebrated rap's existence, and PFW came in as the major sponsor for this event. And it was just appropriate that we were able to do this, Vaughn, because this evening, Ron got his flowers. I mean, he got his flowers. The entire Washington, D.C. community showed up. Matter of fact, Katia, I think she emceed the program. And so it was a real, I mean, EU played, Sugar Bear played. for her, she also sang. So it was a celebration. And so I mean, the roots between rap and WPFW are so strong. So strong.
Yes. And he also got his flowers, Vaughn. I think that was possibly was the 30th anniversary of WPFW at the convention center when Ron got a very special award.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, perhaps Sonny Rollins was at that that event and many others.
Yes. I don't know if Miles Davis might have been there, and Cicely Tyson.
Mm. Okay.
Let's welcome
Angela Owens, Angela Owens Clark. And Angela, some people may not know who you are, but just briefly tell us who you are and then share about.
Married to Ron Clark for many years, and I'm a journalist and worked for WRC TV for many years as well. But I just wanted to talk just briefly about the WPFW connection. Volunteers, and Kokai, you will remember this, RAP clients, RAP residents, volunteered at WPFW for a long time. This was before the federal funding, as you mentioned, RAP did not accept federal funding and could do all manner and kinds of creative and innovative things. So the residents volunteered. They would answer the phone, bring food over for when the fundraising was going on. So it was a part of giving back to the community, which Kokai, you mentioned, all the clients, the residents had to give back to the community. That was a part of restoring themselves, giving back. So I just wanted to also add that, Joni. I don't know if it's if I should continue, if it's time for me to
continue.
Be a part of
the segment. And Angela, let me just jump in quick and say, in addition, there were times when we needed special security for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And RAP was always there, always there with a crew of people who would be protecting us and watching over us to make sure nothing happened. So, or we were protected. So Angela, continue on with sharing some of your thoughts about some of the contributions of Ron, particularly with PFW.
Ron mentioned that Ron was one of the founding programmers of WPFW. He did a show in the wee hours called Transitions. And on one of the shows, he played A Love Supreme in its entirety. But there's, he felt, nowhere else will you hear this on the air, on any radio. But as WPFW was a voice of the people, very special, close to his heart, he shared A Love Supreme in its entirety. It was quite a discussion about that. But in the wee hours, he did that. He would leave RAP on a particular day and go spend the night, if you will, at WPFW. Now, Ron Clark, as people who know him know, was a very serious man with a serious intention of building RAP as a community institution. And even though he's an ancestor, he's been gone for 5 years now, RAP Incorporated is in its 55th year of standing in service for the people of the district. Those in need of substance abuse treatment can still call the phone number that RAP has had since the day it was established and reach someone who can provide help. Ron was led to this work, frankly, because of his brother. His brother, Victor Clark, who died at a very young age, at age 35. He had been injured in the Korean War. He became addicted to drugs and because of his addiction was later jailed. And he found treatment. He was in Senanon for a brief time, but was unable to overcome his addiction. So later ended up in jail. And Ron felt that there must be something that could be done for people who were addicted, who could not get beyond the hold that these substances had on them. And that is one of the things that drove him to create an organization that embraced people holistically, and that Ron worked hard to get rid of sentencing persons addicted to drugs, sentencing them to jail, and to bringing them into treatment. He felt it was absolutely a crime in this nation for talented musicians. There were many musicians who were jailed because of their addiction to drugs. So he felt not only that he must do this for his brother, but in honor of musicians, creative individuals, innovative individuals who brought upliftment to the nation through their music and through their talent, to spend years sitting in jail and wasting time because they could not get help for the addiction. So that
Angela,
is
Angela, we're almost out of time, but could you just in 1 minute or less tell us the very dramatic story of how you met Ron? If there's time, I don't know.
Well, that's a very long story, but I met him after doing an interview. Doing an interview with him, I had been doing a series on the air about families in prison in Washington, D.C., families who were locked up at Lorton. And I say families because there were several generations sometimes who were serving time in Lorton for various and sundry crimes. And I met Ron because he was one of the persons trying to work with people locked up in Lorton as well. And I'll just say briefly, this speaks to Ron's integrity. He was, the people who were in RAP were very secure. He was adamant that people had to, that the residents and clients had to feel safe, and that nothing would get to them in RAP. Their job was to restore themselves. Federal marshals came to RAP's door at one point looking for a particular person, and Ron stood in the way, would not allow them to come through the door. He was arrested for that. The person they were looking for had a court date. The marshals came, it was the wrong court date and all of that. Ron was able to get that straightened out, but he stood and was arrested rather than let marshals come into a facility that he had created as a safe haven for those clients and for those addicted. That was the way, one of the major ways. We weren't dating then, by the way.
Yes, okay, we only have 3 minutes. I'm sorry to say, we only have 3 minutes left for a final wrap up and a couple announcements for another few minutes. I'm gonna ask, Charles and Vaughn, and maybe Kokai, if you can just give one or two sentences to close out the hour.
Yeah, I'm going to be brief. I'll be brief. You know, I think all of our listeners remember Petey Green.
Yes.
Not all of them, but a lot.
Okay. Well, they should remember Petey Green. And Ron Clark epitomized the spirit of Petey Green. And what I mean by that, you know, Petey Green talked about the high and the low, but Ron Clark could be accessible from presidents of companies, of countries, to hustlers on the street, to go-go artists like Lil Benny. I mean, everybody in the community had access and respected Ron. So he was definitely a pillar in our community. And I am just so happy that we're doing this tribute to Ron, because actually in doing a tribute to Ron like this, we're doing a tribute to ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's give Kokai, you have 20 seconds.
Doing that tribute to ourselves. One quick story. Mark Carey, who everybody knows is a very, very renowned jazz pianist, came into the program at age 16 and a half playing drums. And now he's a pronounced internationally known singer. But what we want to leave everyone with is that concept. As a community, we are united in our struggle, and that we have to help ourselves, our families, and our community. And we need residential treatment. We need residential treatment. I'm working with young people today, and we use the rap philosophy, as I shared with Joni, and we recite that rap philosophy.
Okay.
Every week.
Okay, Coca, I'm sorry to cut you off. Vaughn, you have the last word.
I'm just enthralled listening to all of this, but it's testimony to the life of Ron and his contributions. And I only hope that one day WPFW will spend more time celebrating aspects of individuals like this a little more, because it will help teach the younger generation where we have come from, the journey, and where we should go. So again, thank you, Joni, and thank you all for participating. And let's continue to remember Ron and his contributions.
Yes, and
thank you so much, Vaughn. And I want everyone to remember WPFW. Only on WPFW could a program like this be possible. Thank you all.
Yes, and Vaughn and I will be working in the future I had originally hoped we could have a whole day, but I didn't get it together, but I'm happy we had this 1 hour, and it won't be the last. We have some quick announcements. First of all, thank you as always to Magic Mike, who helps us through these shows. Thanks also to Frank Smith with Dr. Watkins, who helped me tremendously. And of course, thanks to Angela Owens Clark and Charles and Kokai and all the guests today, Dr. Chapman, and of course, Vaughn, for helping put this show together. We hope we can do more in the future. We also want to announce that tonight, and Charles can make the announcement, stay tuned to WPFW at 5 p.m. with Ambrose to the East. And who's going to be the special guest, Charles?
I'll be on his show to talk about Go Go Vote. It's an initiative that Ambrose and Stacey Palmer and others in the community have put together to use as a way to inspire go-go enthusiasts, go-go fans to get out and vote this election day.
Okay, so that's today, 5 p.m. with Ambrose on WPFW. I want to let people know that next week on To Heal DC, we're going to be returning to a very critical topic, highlighting Muriel Bowser's reversing on her commitment to provide housing subsidies for 2,000.
Recording in progress.
Ron's dream was to whether or not they could pay. And although he isn't here to see it, I'm just his dream, his goal is being realized. And I also want to say, Joni, again, WPFW is such an important resource in this community. Everyone listening really should be a sustainer. Contribute and send money every month so that WPFW may continue to do the kind of program like the one you are hearing this morning. Thank you.
Yes, and of course, those who can afford it, those who can afford a little more can make up for people who may find it difficult to reach deeper into their pockets. And again, I want to thank Dr. Chapman for joining us today very much. And again, according to what Vaughn said, we're going to try to have a structured way to celebrate particularly the WPFW heroes who are now ancestors, who we need to always remember, such as Ron Clark, such as Nap Turner, such as Gaston Neal, and many, many more. So thank you. Thank you, Vaughn.
Thank you. Thank you. Askia Mohammed, another ancestor.
Yes, and well, Askia is being remembered, thankfully, to some extent, but we're... Here we go with a love supreme to everybody. Thank you.
WPFW's This Is Reggae Music and the Reggae Experience presents a fundraising concert featuring Image Band, Curlew Reggae All-Stars Band, Lady Flame, and Carl Malcolm. On Saturday, October the 5th, 7 p.m. until midnight at King Solomon Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast Washington, D.C. Tickets available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW. All proceeds benefit WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Bethesda Theater presents Spyro Gyro, celebrating their 50th anniversary on Sunday, October 13th, and Norman Brown on Sunday, October 20th. More information at BethesdaTheater.com.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes!
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Hey, Chris Garlock here.
And I'm Elise Bryant.
Tune in Thursdays at 1 p.m.
for the Labor Heritage Hour Hour.
Every week, we explore labor arts and culture.
As anarchist Emma Goldman said so famously, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
And that's how we feel about labor music, films,
theater, poetry,
labor history, labor art,
spoken word. Basically, anything that brings labor and the arts together.
So, join us for the Labor Heritage Power Hour
here on WPFW 89.3 FM.
Your station for jazz and justice.
That's the Labor Heritage Power Hour.
Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m.
The heart and soul
of the American labor movement.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud, on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
Attention jazz and creative music fans. On Friday, September 27th, New York meets DC when pianist Matthew Shipp's trio performs on a double bill with Washington's own pianist and bandleader Janelle Gill and her trio at the NYU campus in downtown DC. Matthew Shipp will also stick around after the concert for a question and answer session with the audience, moderated by Bushmeat Sound System, aka Dr. Thomas Stanley. This concert on Friday, September 27th, is presented by Capital Bop. Tickets and more info can be found at capitalbop.com. That's capitalbop.com.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage